Welcome to eClad Chat. eClad Chat. Streaming live to you from eClad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. eClad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. eClad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. I'm Casey Benane, and welcome to eClad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content that will develop both your personal and professional lives. And just so that you guys know, before we even move further, today is a pre-recorded show because, of course,
What's happening?
No, I know what's happening. It's just that I was trying to count the days. So it's Wednesday. So we have 2 days till Christmas. So, of course, we decided to pre-record the show. And to the left of me, I have Miss Kaylin Burke, who's always busting my chops. Go ahead, Kaylin.
Hey, okay, just letting you guys know about eClad's Hidden Gem promotion for the month of December. And we have a new promotion for this month. And it is $100 towards your total venue rental. So if you just call us and tell us that you heard this on eClad Chat, and we'll give you that deal, and you can book an event, a party, whatever you want at eClad Hidden Gem.
Absolutely. And so, you know, just so you guys know, you can give us a call also to make that booking. It's 212-644-6445. And just like Kaylin said, you know, it's a great promotion, $100 off, so take advantage of it. Okay, guys, so we're going to jump right into today's show. We're so excited about our guests. Yes, we are always excited about all of our guests, but we're particularly excited about our guest today because she's an amazing entrepreneur. Her name is Erin Carpenter, and she is the founder of Nude Bar. So just to give you guys a little bit of information or background on Erin, again, she founded Nude Bar. And Nude Bar is a specialty line of eco-friendly undergarments made in 16 shades of nude to match all skin tones. Yes, 16 shades of nude. It's durable enough for active women and stylish enough for everyday fashion. Learn about her brand and, and also about entrepreneurship, because we're going to touch on that, and also, you know, some business aspects of how she turned this amazing business from an idea into a successful business. So, without further ado, let's just jump right into it. So, Erin, before we actually, you know, get into all the questions and things that we have, you know, to talk about today, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you like to do, and maybe like a fun fact about you or something.
So I'm a doggy mom, so I love walking my dog. I'm a fitness enthusiast. I work out a lot, probably like 6 days a week. I'm really into ballet, bar, fitness classes. That's my preference. And then I do spin and a couple other things. So just whatever feels good to my body, makes me feel good, helps release stress. I love yoga as well. I'm a wife, new wife as of August 1st. So
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm an entrepreneur. I love coming up with new ideas and creative things that, you know, maybe aren't on the market, but, you know, how can we add it to the market? How can we make it affordable for a consumer? And why isn't it on the market? Mm-hmm. Those are kind of like the thoughts that go through my head on a daily basis. So I'm a creative person. I'm an artsy person. I'm, like I said, animal lover, fitness enthusiast, and I love fashion and all girl things.
Yeah. It's like awesome. So it all kind of ties into Nude Bar. Mm-hmm. And can you just like tell us what it is you guys do? It's a really cool concept. But.
So Nude Bar is an eco-friendly line of skin-toned undergarments. So there's 16 different shades to truly match your skin, from really fair skin to really, really dark skin. So the entire spectrum. And basically the origin of the brand was, you know, I was a dancer, professional and pre-professional. And every time I would go to a job or I would, you know, join a new company, I was always asked to bring nude tights, panties, bras, various undergarments. Yeah. But this, like, doesn't exist on the market. So, you know, pretty much the option was to dye it myself. Like, you know, any dye you can get from, like, Dwayne Reed, or you can go a little more custom with a dye service, etc. Or if I was really lucky, the costume designer would dye them for us if we had like a really good budget, which usually was not the case. So anyway, you know, I would just, this was always like an issue in my dance career, in my acting and modeling career. And yeah, I started asking over the years other artists, like, you know, are you having the same issue too? And not just brown women or women of color, but even like fair-skinned women or white women as well. And they were like, yeah, you know, the nude, the one color, two colors that's on the market doesn't match me and it's really annoying, or, you know, I end up having to pay money to buy the product and then adjust the product to work for me. So that was pretty much how I came up with the idea, and, you know, did more surveys to kind of research, well, what makes sense? What colors make sense? You know, based on what's on the market, why is that the only color on the market? Why don't we have other options, yeah, et cetera?
You know, what's interesting about what you just explained is that as you're talking, mm-hmm, I'm picturing myself, like, you know, the younger me, or even the me now too. Like, when I, first of all, I don't wear stockings a whole lot, a hosiery a whole lot. But when I do, I tend, as most of my life, with everything else I do, I tend to stick with like the nude blacks. Mm-hmm. For that very reason, yep, because when I would look for something that would be close to my skin, you know what it would make you look like? Almost like you're, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but it sounds like your grandmother, because it's so orangey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the orange.
You know, yeah, what I mean? Even if, no matter what shade or whatever they called it, it was always really orangey, or it had some sort of tint of orange, and it just didn't work.
It doesn't match the rest of your body, yeah, at weird. All.
It's weird. So I would rather do like a nude black, or, yeah, that's me venturing out.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because as I was selecting the colors, so at the time I was dancing for the Knicks, and we would get free MAC foundation as a part of, you know, our contract every year. And so I just kind of went through, you know, all the girls. We would hire a diverse group of girls from, you know, all ethnicities, and just kind of survey like what colors are the most popular foundations, or what colors look natural. Mm-hmm. And I based the colors off of actual foundation shades so that it wouldn't look weird or orangey.
That's
or
right.
You know, and the colors, they have undertones in them. So just like your makeup foundation, mm-hmm, maybe you're more of an olive or, you know, a pinkish undertone, mm-hmm, etc. It reflects in the colors in Nude Bar as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. We have the colors here if you want to talk about that quickly. So these are all the colors. All 16?
Yes, 16.
Yes, 16. Awesome. Oh, yes, and they all have cool names that you were talking about earlier. We discovered that I am, what am I?
I had a cool name. We said brown sugar.
Brown sugar. Yes.
I know, Kayla was like, she was so psyched about that.
Yeah, it's exciting. So you just like, you know,
that'll be my new nickname for you, brown sugar.
Brown sugar. And you were?
I don't remember.
Irish cream.
Oh, was I? Okay.
Right, or was it the one before? I think you were Irish
cream. I like
cream.
Irish cream, but I think I like brown sugar. Like, brown sugar has...
It's a nice thing. Like, you can see, like, even in the video, if you want to look, it's all the different colors. The darkest one is mocha. Yeah, so I think this would, like, really cover a ton of people. 16 different shades.
16 options, yeah.
So the other option is one shade.
I think back in the day, yeah, like, there were, like, maybe three options. Mm-hmm. Like, you go to Macy's, because that's where I would have gone to have gotten, like, you know, at least the more... durable ones you get from, like, I would go to Macy's and get that, and I think there's, like, really, there used to be really, like, three shades to choose from, and like I said, like, you know, in trying them, they were just different shades of orange. Yeah, there were different variations of orange, and it really didn't match your tone at all, and so I preferred nude blacks, but anyway.
So you said, like, your whole, like, experience kind of played into the idea to create it, and you said you were previously a dancer. So you could tell us a little bit more about your dancing experience and how it really all ties together.
Yes, we're going to hear all about that.
Yeah. Definitely. So I went to college here in New York City. I went to Marymount Manhattan College, and I was a ballet major there, and then I also minored in business management because I knew I probably wanted to start a business. I just wasn't sure what it would be in at the time. So that whole part of my life, I'm dancing every day, doing ballet. The program there is pretty diverse, so we do tap, modern dance, various styles of modern dance, in addition to point ballet, and then we would perform pretty much every season or every semester. So after that, you know, obviously we audition and you try to get a job, and you're a starving artist, as they say it. So right when I got out of school, I signed with an agency, a talent agency for acting and dance and etc. So I auditioned for companies, and I kind of knew, like, man, the lifestyle is hard. Like, you're not making that much money per week, per month, and I was really interested in this entrepreneur journey, and I, like I said, I had kind of been, the wheels had been turning about the nude dilemma that I was having for, since I was, like, 10 years old up until this point where I'm in my 20s at that time. So, later on, you know, I started booking commercials, American Airlines, Verizon, to Nivea, all these different commercials. Most of them, the ones you see people dancing in, those were the types of commercials I would typically do. And then also, like, print ads and things like that. Also, around that same time, I started dancing for the Knicks. I was with them for 2 seasons, 2 years, you know, a year contract. And, I mean, it's just a blast. So, my day was pretty hectic where I would go on a casting maybe 4 hours out of my day and then run to rehearsal and then run to a game and then you kind of do it all over.
Constant work.
Yeah. And then I had to find time to exercise and eat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that was also like a major point in the business where I was like asking the girls, like, you know, what are you wearing? What brands are you wearing? What do you like? What don't you like about these brands? Kind of collecting all my data to develop the product.
So you were kind of developing this from your school days, basically. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And I mean, I wasn't sure when I would start the business. At first I said, well, maybe I'll do it when I'm like 35, right? Like, we were kind of saying this earlier, as women, we're like, oh, wait till later, you know, when I kind of live my life.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I was talking to my dad about it. He's not an entrepreneur, but he's really inspired by entrepreneurs. And he said, you know what, you have a great idea, and maybe you don't know all the information now, you don't have all the data now, but that's what R&D is about, you know, your research and development. You're going to learn, you're going to figure it out, you should just start the business now. And so I said, okay, and just started from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smart man. I just want to take a step back a little bit. Were you raised here in New York? Are you from New York?
So I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, Maryland area, around there. And, you know, that's where I did a lot of my dance training growing up. In the summers, from when I was about 15 years old up until I came here for college, I would come here every summer, either on a scholarship with, like, Dancer of Harlem, Alvin Ailey School, Joffrey Ballet, you know, pretty prestigious programs. But I knew, you know, from very young that I wanted to be in New York because I'd spent a lot of my summers here.
Yeah.
Kind of knew the city already and what the heartbeat of the city was as an artist, as an entertainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're interested in the process of, you know, Nubar, and like, so you gave us the beginnings, so we understand how the concept came about. We know where you're, I mean, you were really from inception, from college, you know, kind of conceptualizing this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, okay, how did you now take this concept and turn it into a reality, into a working business?
So at that point, when my dad suggested, you know, start the business, I'm like, man, the biggest piece of the puzzle is the manufacturing. How am I going to make this product?
Yeah.
So I started just kind of, I mean, I feel like God was putting people in my life to guide me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I would meet people and then I'd find out, oh, they manufacture products too. I had no idea that they did that, or they might have been in my life all along, but they are doing this on the side, etc. So I started asking them about the process. Obviously, through research, I started finding different trade shows that kind of assist you with manufacturing or assist you with finding fabrics, and that's when I started learning about fabrics and the textiles and the certain technologies behind the ones that I was interested in, because I wanted to make my products where you could use it for fitness or dance or whatever, but you could also use it for everyday life. So it needs to have wicking fibers so that it keeps you dry and things like that. So I had to learn a little bit about the textiles.
I just want to stop you there really quick because I what's interesting is that you didn't go to school for this.
No. Yeah.
So you had to train yourself. So you had this thought process and then you had to figure it out all on your, so you're sort of like fine tuning, this idea that you're trying to bring into fruition.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So my first factory that I found, was in China, which was a little nerve wracking because I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm gonna go visit these people.
Yeah.
but they sent me amazing samples. I mean, it took a while to really get the sample that I wanted. And I gained trust with them and things started moving smoothly. They did the first batch of colors. The first batch of colors came out awesome. It's mainly just the product, like the durability, the little details that I was looking for that we had to adjust. And the first batch worked out amazing. It shipped on time and, we didn't have any crazy delays or anything. And then now it's like, all right, now we got to sell the product. But I felt like I had a good idea of how I wanted to sell the product in the beginning. So I had all of these relationships from my dance career. And basically I was just, going to them just saying, hey, I know you know about this dilemma. You're in it with me by the product, basically. So I would work with NFL teams, NBA teams. I was already on an NBA team. So, it kind of helped me just kind of get it off the ground, again, collect more data. What do you like about this product? What do you not like about it?
Yeah.
How can I change it? How can I make it better? Also adjusting the pricing.
Yes. Okay. How long did you... I'm sorry, Caroline. My brain just keeps... it's just so interesting, so my brain just keeps working. How many times did you have to, go back to the drawing board? Just, because you said you had to fine-tune it, you had to, I guess based on what people were saying, you had to, kind of make adjustments. Like, how many times did you have to do that before you said, okay, we've kind of we figured it out, we have the final product?
Honestly, I feel like I'm still fine-tuning it. Because every year we launch a new product, and then it's still the same process over and over again, where, I'm asking the customers and the celebrities that wear it, to give me feedback on the product. And then we have different types of customers that are buying that have different needs. So, for example, my everyday woman, one of my customers, I ran into her last week, and she says, oh, my tights I've had for 4 years are still in great condition. But then that is not the same for the dancer who's like sliding around on the floor. So just trying to figure out, how to balance that out for the two different customers is, a thing that's just something I'm always working on. So there's always changes and adjustments, nothing major, just little things that
fine tuning.
You have to know to like the wear and tear, you see people wearing them for a while to see how they react and stuff. But I think it was cool that you're actually in the market that you're trying to sell it to, so it all kind of works out. And I know this is completely different than you used to have a matchmaking company, so you kind of had business experience already, but was that before?
Kind of around the same time, both in the early stages. So kind of while I was doing my R&D and my research, then on the other parts of my day, then we would do matchmaking. So I had a partner in this business. And mostly what we were doing, not specifically matching one person to another person, but sitting with a guy and saying, okay, what's your dream girl? Usually this is a guy that's kind of introverted. He may be a little bit awkward around the woman that he really wants to be with. So giving him the social skills so that he can talk. And this is before online dating. So now, I don't know how well the business would apply to the world we live in, but at the time, people are trying to meet people on the street, they're trying to meet people at a bar or a restaurant, and then how does this guy who's a little antisocial or an introvert, who on paper he's amazing, right? He has a great job, whatever income bracket he may be in, this woman may want that as well. How do we get them together? How do we get her to like him, et cetera? So that's what we were.
What was that like? It sounds so intriguing.
Yeah, I think it would be a fun thing.
So it was a lot of fun. It's interesting because you get to see people in a very vulnerable place. Like they have to really get comfortable with you to tell you what it is that makes them nervous around a woman, and most guys don't want to share that kind of information. But I mean, we got really great results with the guys. We had guys that went on to marry women and or be in long relationships with women. So, you know, it was, I feel like we had really good success.
Yeah. A way to improve the world, I feel. Another way, anyway.
So I think that's even like a theme of mine as an entrepreneur. Like, I like to do things that are, in a way, life-changing or, you know, that can help you. So, I mean, for me, at least, with Nude Bar, you know, it was always an issue or a dilemma to be in undergarments that were uncomfortable or didn't match, or, you know, that I didn't feel my best on stage or on camera, etc. Yeah. And, you know, having a product like this just made me feel that much more confident and beautiful and etc. Right? So
I can totally see that. So you didn't have to, because you said that you were kind of creating these two things simultaneously, right?
Yeah.
So was there sort of a transition that you had to go through, or maybe there wasn't, you know, because they're two very, I mean, although they kind of have similar goals in terms of, you know, helping others or, you know, achieving something for other people.
Right.
Like different industries.
Yeah, but the industries are very different. Like, was there a transition type of thing that you had to go through, I guess, or?
Not too much, because a lot of our business was by appointment. So, you know, I could just, when I'm free, I could just schedule to work with this guy, or when I'm, you know, when I'm not free, I'm working on the other thing, except, you know, so it gave me balance. So it there wasn't a lot of like transition to one versus the other too much. Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, we try to like help other entrepreneurs kind of like get started. A lot of people listen are like from the industry trying to start their own business. So you've had a lot of experience like developing your brand from just like a thought to real life. So do you have any advice for someone else, whatever kind of product they have, trying to create a business?
Number one would be, you know, the research. Make sure you have all the information, or as much of it as you can. But, you know, the start is never going to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. You'll always think of reasons why you don't want to start, or reasons why you don't know enough, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, do your research, do the best you can, and then start your business. Maintaining good credit is important, because even though you're going to start business credit, your personal credit is going to help start your business credit, and that can make it tricky in the beginning when you need money to start the business.
That's really important for people to know. I don't think we've ever really touched on that point before with other interviews that we've done. I don't think people, especially, you know, new entrepreneurs, I don't think they realize that going into it, that your personal credit counts, because that's what they look to in order to support your corporate, you know, your business, basically.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like a logical application.
Yeah.
Not just like follow your dreams. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because, I mean, when you fill out for a business credit card, you have to put your social security.
You do.
They're going to check your credit, and they're going to, and your EIN, you know, your business. So, I mean, you should have clean credit. As, you know, I mean, it's hard. A lot of times you get into debt for various reasons, you know, so I would say try to, in order to maintain clean credit, obviously pay your bills on time, but before you're going to apply for these things like a credit card, try to like wipe out as much debt as you can, so that you can get the funding that you need, at least to get a little start, even if it's, you know, $5,000 or whatever. And then, you know, I definitely asked family and friends for help, you know, as far as money, like, hey, this is the plan, this is the goal, and don't be afraid to share your idea with people. That was another thing I was a little worried about. Oh, if I tell people about it, then they're going to steal my idea. And,
I went through that too.
You know, that's a big fear as an entrepreneur, and even as, like, I would say it's a bigger issue as like an artsy person, because you don't want people knocking your idea, and it like hurts inside, right? When someone copies what you do. But you know what? If you're good at something and you have a great idea, of course someone's gonna copy it, right? Of course someone's gonna redo it. So eventually you have to get over that. But don't be afraid to just discuss your idea with people. That's gonna give you more data, that's gonna give you more information, and if you're needing help, funding, whatever, you have to tell people about it so they can believe in it. You have to sell them on it so they can believe in it, and they can give you whatever amount you may be asking for.
Was that a difficult process for you, I feel like? Or?
I would say not so much talking to people about it. I think I got over that really quick. But raising money is hard. It can be hard. Yeah. So especially in like a fashion industry, tech companies can raise money like easy. But fashion, it's a little bit trickier because it's a trendy business. So it's harder to get investors involved or even like a bank to believe that, you know, you could pay this loan back in 2 years, 3 years or whatever.
Yeah. Good advice. I like that. Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to Nude Bar, right? Okay, so so it's sustainable. It's a sustainable product. How did you come up, how did you kind of accomplish that? Because I'm thinking for, in my mind, like when I was, you know, when I was looking through the product and I was kind of like researching it and stuff, I'm like, that's incredible because just for you to be able to have all the shades that you have, I would think that you would have to, you know, that there's like this, I don't know, because I'm not in the industry, but I'm just thinking there has to be like this sort of process that probably, you know, there are all these things involved that how, I guess, let me stop talking and just say, how do you,
how does it happen? So yeah, I get this question a lot. We definitely always try to use eco-friendly dyes as much as we can. Okay. You know, and that's always like the first conversation we're having with our suppliers, whether it's the manufacturer, whether it's the fabric, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like, can you do this with in an eco-friendly way of some sort? So as far as the fabric, like our panty that we make is made from an eco-friendly fabric. Then, as I said, with the dyes, we try to use eco-friendly dyes. So that's just basically it. I mean, there are probably more than you think, more companies that can do eco-friendly.
Okay.
It's just, you know, finding the right manufacturer that's willing to get the supplies for it is maybe a little bit of the hard part, but it exists. It's not like you'll never find it, or it's super hard. And it may cost you a little bit more, but it kind of just depends on, you know, who your customer is, who your retailer is, and if, you know, they want your cost at a certain place, then some people may just do away with that whole idea.
It's also like a way to distinguish your brand too. And along those lines of, like, you know, retailers, who carries your product and, like, who's, like, your typical client? And you said you had some celebrity clients as well. So, yeah.
So our client, like I said, it's a little mixed. So we sell in dance stores, but then we also sell in some small fashion boutiques as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, a diverse mixture where it could just be your girl that is a ballerina that wants to walk into her local dance store, where we sell to her, and then your everyday woman. So a couple of the celebrities are Wendy Williams. She's actually been wearing Nude Bar on her show since 2012.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, pretty much daily, unless she's wearing pants or something like that.
Yeah, which isn't usually common for her.
she's a dress girl.
Yeah.
Laverne Cox is another one of our celebrity wearers.
Okay.
Tyra Banks. Maya, the singer, has worn them for a couple of appearances. Star Jones. Ordered a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, just, and a lot of them actually, so it's interesting, like, Wendy Williams wears them all the time, and then Laverne Cox saw them on Wendy, Tyra saw them on Wendy, and they both, you know, reached out to me in that way. So, I mean, Wendy has been an awesome ambassador for the products.
Nice.
But all the stores are listed on nudebar.com. A couple of stores in California. There's Onstage Dance Store here in New York that actually just ordered yesterday. They've been carrying the product for a couple years now. Great store, Bratenders. It's in the theater district. They also carry Nude Bar. And their store more so caters to, so it's a bra fitting store.
Yeah.
It's by appointment only.
I like the name.
Yeah. So you go in and you have to make an appointment. They fit you for a bra. They have hosiery and underwear and other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they mostly work with costume designers, stylists that want to look for a specific item.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so the next series of questions are questions that we ask all of our guests that come in.
Yeah.
As it applies to our show and what we do here. Okay, so I'll start with, like, one of the things that we do here are events. So if you can tell me, like, the best event that you've attended and, like, why, like, what made that event stand out to you, or why is it memorable to you?
Okay, I'm going to be cliche. I'm going to have to say my wedding day. Sorry. one, because I planned most of it. Well, my husband did a lot of planning too, but it was a big event. It was a lot to plan. I mean, I think I looked my best. I had the best time.
Was it here in New York?
It was in New York, in Long Island.
Okay.
And We had a lot of people. You know, food was great. So, and it was, you know, just the best day. Just
and it was recent.
And it was recent. Yeah. So okay. As of now, that's it. Until I meet Oprah.
Yeah, I feel like nothing can beat that.
I know.
It has a sentimental value too, so yeah. It has everything into a good event, I would say. Okay, and then we also have like the jewelry aspect of the business. So do you have like three jewelry or accessory essentials that you know you can't leave the house without or you think every woman should own?
Definitely I love an earring. I love unique things. I really love to shop from either small designers or indie designers, mm-hmm. just stuff you wouldn't see other people wearing typically. I love hats and headpieces. Those are generally items I wear every day. I don't wear a ton of bracelets unless like I'm really, really drawn to it for whatever reason. And I'm really into like nail art. That's like my, I call it my accessory, but nail art is like, I feel like it's a great conversation piece. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could change your nail color daily if you wanted to match your outfit. So even though I don't know if most people consider it in the accessory category, it's definitely a big one for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people, because people get jewels on their nails and stuff. Yeah, so like, that's a good accessory.
It's taking a whole different, like...
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a whole other level of art on nails.
No, definitely.
So crazy. I saw on the bus the other day, I saw this lady with like a... It was just... And it had like a little... I'm not a nail. As you can see, I don't do. So like, you know, I'm intrigued by all kinds of things. It's so crazy. But like, you know, I'm looking at her on the bus and she's probably... But it was so cute. It was like a bow. It was like, you know, both hands. It was one bow on each... what do you call it? Your ring finger.
Yeah.
And it had like a little stone, and it wasn't like overdone. Mm-hmm. It was really.
But
cute.
Yeah, I feel like you can like add to an outfit with your nails.
It's
sure.
Definitely a cool accessory.
And you mentioned like the designers. Do you have like a favorite jewelry or accessories designer?
I don't. I'm not picky. It's just if I'm really drawn to something, mm-hmm. that
catches your eye.
Yeah. I love going to little pop up shops or. Stuff where small designers would be, where you could just discover new,
unique
interesting
things. So are you a lipstick or a lip gloss girl?
I do both. Today I have on a lipstick. I would say if I'm in a hurry, then I'm just going to put on a gloss.
Okay.
Which is most days out of my life. But if I'm like, if it's something important, then I'm going to take time and put
on
lipstick.
Lipstick.
Okay. And sometimes I'll do both, lipstick with the gloss on top.
Yeah. That's what I normally do. Yes. Okay, awesome. And then, you know, finally, for people who are looking for new bar and they want to buy it or just want to see more information about it, how can they, you know, contact you or find more info and, like, what are your social handles if people want to follow you?
So for social media, it's Nude Bar, NudeBarre. So it's just at Nude Bar for Twitter, at Nude Bar for Instagram. And Instagram is great because we're constantly posting the photos of the product. You can see your colors. You know, we try to start conversations there so that way we can help you color match. You can add us in your pictures and then someone will tell you, hey, you're this color in Nude Bar if you're not sure. So that's a great way. If you see the product and you're like, there's so many options, I can't tell what color. Find us on Instagram, add us, and just say, hey, what color do you think I would be? Somebody will suggest one or two colors for you.
It's like a good way to create engagement.
And then, of course, nudebar.com. So just www.nudebar.com. And you can see all the products there, pricing. We have our blog, which is fun. It's not just about the product, but it's, you know, there's lifestyle things on there. There's stuff, suggestions on entrepreneurs and freelancers, just to give you tips and advice. And you can also see different photos. Obviously, it'll link you to all of our social media as well if you forget how to spell anything. So just NudeBarre.com. Bar like ballet bar.
Okay, so another thing I really, you know, we were talking about shades. Can you tell us if you're not sure, right, about what shade you've, you know, because... you're offering 16, and of course you would want it to be as close to your complexion as possible.
Yeah.
What options do you guys provide for something like that?
Yeah, so you can go into any of the retail stores and that we carry the product in, they will have swatches there. But the best way is just to get your own swatch. You can order it on the website on nudebar.com, and the swatches are called What's Your Color? And you just get a full set, and you just go through on your own time. You can check it in different lighting, indoor, outdoor, because sometimes the shades could look different to you and to your skin. skin on those, or even different body parts could be in different shades as well. So it's just nice to get your own, take it home, look around. And then Instagram is a great way, adding us in your photos, and then we could suggest a color for you. Depending on if you have filters and all this other stuff on your photos, okay, maybe we could be wrong, but so the best way would be to order swatches.
Okay, great. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, cool. All right, well, thank you so much for, you know, hanging with us and talking, chatting up with us about Nude Bar and about you and, you know, what you're offering. We really appreciate it, and we hope that maybe you'll come back sometime soon again and kind of, you know, fill us in on what's going on or what's happening during that time, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's a blast.
So thank you, Erin Carpenter. And we're going to move on now to the designer feature and the news and events for the day.
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.
So we're back with today's designer feature, which is the cobblestone earrings that Casey's wearing, and then the double bangle that I'm wearing, and it's part of Kanam Priya's collection. And so the cobblestone earrings are 22 karat gold plated over brass hand hammered earrings, and they're about 2.5 inches long, so you can see them with your hair, which is good. A little longer. And then the cobblestone double bangle is 22 karat gold plated again over brass hand hammered bangle, and it's like 1 3/4 inch wide. It's like a good size.
Yeah.
And you know, they're both handcrafted and designed as usual. You can get them together, get them separately.
On eclad.com.
Yes, eclad.com.
Okay, guys, so we're going to jump right into the last segment for our show, which is the news and events. But unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, we don't actually have news today because this is a pre-recorded show and we couldn't presume to know the news that far in advance. So what we decided to do is just provide you guys with some really cool things that's going on here in the city, here in New York, that we thought that would be great for you guys to attend with the family or with loved ones or friends or whatever. But either way, it's really cool and we think that you'll enjoy doing it. So first is the Bank of America Winter Village at Bryant Park, which Kaylin's actually attended, and she was giving me some deets on it, and we'll talk about that a little more. Just so that you guys know, it's a 70,000 square foot outdoor rink that has over 128 holiday shopping stalls or, you know, little boutique things. I've been to the one in on 14th Street.
The Union Square one.
But not I've not visited the Bryant Park one. At least I don't think. Maybe I did many years ago. Anyway, that's irrelevant. So so they have 128 holiday shops, including a bunch of new kiosks and eateries that you know, you guys can indulge in while there. You have the option to bring your own skates, which I guess we highly recommend because then there's no fee involved. Or you can rent the skates there at the rink. It's a great way, like I said, to spend quality time with your friends and family. And the vendors will be there from now through January 3rd. I think they've been there for a while now, but it's ongoing through January 3rd. And the rink is open through March 6th. So if you're over the shops and over all that other the holiday stuff, you can just go and indulge in some skating if that's what you like to do. And so Kaylin has... Like I said, she's been there, and I guess she can kind of, like, tell us what it's like. I'm not...
Oh, no, it's really cool, especially the rink is a lot less crowded than Rockefeller Center's
rink. Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's good to go to, and, like, they play, like, the holiday music really loud. They have, like, a huge tree there also. Like, it, I mean, it doesn't rival the Rockefeller Center tree, but, you know, I like to see all, like, the different trees that they have on display in New York. And they have, like, really unique shops there, which I think is the cool part. They had, like, a shop of all onesies. They had really good toffee that I tried while I was there. They have, you know, bags that have funny sayings on them about New York and stuff like that. So it's, if you want, like, unique gifts for people, or, like, gifts that were handmade in New York, it's a really cool place to get it.
Yeah. And like I said, I visited the one in Union Square, which was such a long time ago. I haven't visited any. I need to really start doing more things in my city. Yes, I do. But, you know, I remember purchasing, I think it was a necklace in the Union Square, I guess, one that they have down there. There's no skating ring that I can recall.
No.
but just like a bunch of like little mini shops that offer sort of the same thing, like all these unique finds and, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs trying to get their, you know, their products out there. And it's really cool. And I remember purchasing a necklace. I don't think I have it anymore, but I remember being excited when I saw it because it was really something different. And I love unique things. So it's a great way to, like, you know, just enjoy the city. And maybe I will do it and then talk about it on...
I'm going Friday.
Well, maybe I might join Kaylin, and you know, and tell you, and we can tell you all about it on the next show. So Kaylin also has a really cool event too that we
haven't been to it, unfortunately. I'm gonna try to get there before it's over, but it is the Luminaries installation at Brookfield Place, and what it is these huge lanterns, and not real lanterns, that's like an installation, so it's kind of like sculptural, and they're all over the ceiling of Brookfield Place. And what's cool is you can go up to them, and there's certain ones with touch sensors, so you put your hand on it and you make a wish. And then once you take your hand off, all the different lanterns change colors.
That's so cool. That sounds like so much fun.
Exactly. So I definitely want to go try that. And also the cool thing is that it donates to charity. So it donates $1 for every wish to the Grammy in the Schools program.
Nice.
Yes.
Wait, and where is this exactly?
Brookfield Place. It's near the World Trade Center. So it's very downtown.
Yeah, that's way down there. Oh, well, no, actually, it's cool because then, you know what, you can make, like, a whole, like, if you decide to do that, a whole day of it, because then I think that's really close to South Street Seaport.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've heard that they've done a lot of new cool things there since, you know, Katrina happened and all that. Like, they've been rebuilding, so I've heard that they've done, like, a phenomenal job with the bringing back up or, you know, restructuring of South Street Seaport. So it would be cool to kind of location hop.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
not far from each other.
And for both of these, you know, the Winter Village is done January 3rd. The Luminaries display is done January 10th.
Oh,
so you have a little bit of time, yeah. And you can go there from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I would probably suggest at night because then, you know, they light up.
Yeah.
Look a little cooler.
It's not cool any other... I mean, I guess it's cool no matter what. But,
yeah.
Like, that's really... I would... get a kick out of that. I'd be like, oh my god, it's magic. No.
So we should make an E-Clad trip there.
We totally should kind of report back on the events there. So yeah. So guys, that's all that we have for you guys today. It was such a great show. We're sorry that it wasn't live, but you know what? It was just as good, and we hope that you're listening. And, you know, happy holidays.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah.
Right? All wrapped up in one from us at E-Clad. And remember, E-Clad Chat.
E-Clad Chat.
which is all the same thing. Yeah. So love life and wear it well. And, you know, have a merry, merry, merry all three. Hanukkah, Christmas, and Kwanzaa. Till next time.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at E-Clad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. E-Clad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. E-Clad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. E-Clad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then E-Clad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent E-Clad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. E-Clad's Hidden Gem.